In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths to a more fulfilled way of being, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a higher understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Richard Lombardi, the cancer-fighting chef. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, this is an exciting show for me because for years, Chef Richard and I produced, I'm about to say Life Changes with Filippo, but it is a precursor to Life Changes with Filippo, Filippo and the Chef. And we had so much fun doing this together, and I can't wait to have fun doing this together. So I'm happy that Chef Richard is our guest today. You know, it's interesting. As Chef Richard and I were talking about getting together and doing this, I was feeling a moment. I was feeling as if a moment was being created here and remembering so many wonderful moments that we spent together, and was looking forward to more wonderful moments together. And without knowing it, a friend of mine gave me a huge compliment last night, as a matter of fact, when he said, taking a page out of Filippo's book, I created a moment. And I remember, by the way, speaking of moments, in case everybody that's normally listening to the show is wondering what's going on, I feel like we're on CBS Good Morning America or whatever that show is where they show New York in the background. We have Los Angeles, well, not really Los Angeles, we're in Altadena at the Coffee Gallery. So we're really grateful to the Coffee Gallery for doing this and Richard for setting this up. And it's really appropriate because Richard's show and my show used to be, as I said, Filippo and the Chef, and on occasion we would do it on live stages while we were cooking, and we would also do it from kitchens. And so this is appropriate for us to be together again and technically kind of be in a kitchen where not food is being prepared, but at least espresso, so it's still Italian, because it was an Italian-American show. He's Italian-American, and I am too. So back to the moments, like, we seem to be creating right here, right now. So this friend of mine told me that he was creating a moment with his family. And I wasn't sure what he was getting at. And so what he told me was that he remembered a story that I had shared with him. And he said, thanks to you, I started doing the same things. Well, I'm going to take credit only for sharing the stories with him, because it's not just about, we see, it does feel like we're in New York now. And that's appropriate because Richard is from New York. So it all fits, and I'll never finish this monologue, and maybe I'm not supposed to, and the moment is what it is. But I'm going to go ahead and say that
Interesting. And whatever emergency is right across the street. So this is perfect. And we're on video. So whoever's watching this on video will get to see it live happening right now.
So I'll take credit for sharing the story, which is important. But as far as creating the idea behind creating moments, that happened as a family, as a lot of things sometimes do. I remember I was working for IBM in my 40 or maybe 60-hour week. And come the holidays, every year I would take time from work during our busiest time and go to the stores and fight the crowds and shop for gifts for my family. And eventually, I would finally find something after hours and hours and hours of searching and doing something I wasn't happy doing, but I knew I had to because that's what we have to do during the holidays. And people might be saying, is he talking about the holidays again and buying gifts again? But, you know, Valentine's is coming up, and this applies, especially now that I notice that more and more people are buying gifts for their mothers or for their daughters or for their fathers, if they're a daughter, at Valentine's. So this is still appropriate. A story as another gift buying season is coming up. So after buying all these gifts for my family, I watch them open them up, and they were either the wrong size or the wrong thing or something they didn't need or something they already had or something they just wouldn't use. And I thought, what was that all about? Did I just waste my time? Did I just waste resources, my own personal human resources and time and gas and all this stuff? Just for what? What kind of exercise is this? And then I thought, what do I really like about the holidays? And the thing that I really, really liked about the holidays was spending time with my family. So I came up with this idea of creating a moment, and that the gift I would give is a moment with me and my getting to have a moment with them. So I'm hoping that whoever just passed away behind us, that all the ambulancers coming for, had moments with their family and friends and loved ones instead of just gifts that piled up in their house that either didn't get used or got thrown away or broken at some point. So I decided I would buy my family a gift, like tickets to the theater, or someplace like that, something like that, where we could spend time together and have a moment together. And that's what I started doing. Now, as I say, this was created as a family because I remember another time that one of us gave my mother a gold-plated rose. And my father was sick at the time with cancer, interestingly enough. And he was passing away. And as a gift, my mother received this gold-plated rose and looked at it, and almost with tears in her eyes, knowing she was going to be losing her husband eventually, she said, "What do I need a gold-plated rose for? The only gold I want is what's sitting in this room right now. And if I could have more of these, more time together than these useless gold-plated roses." I'm not putting down gold-plated roses, but that was what my mom said. And then finally, another thing I remember is my younger brother started to have children. And I had never had nieces and nephews. And so as birthdays came, as holidays came, I felt compelled to buy them gifts. And as they started becoming 1 year old or 2 years old or 3 years old, I thought, what does one buy a 2 year old or a 3 year old? And my brother said to me, "What you do is you go outside and you pick a leaf and you put it in a box and then you wrap the box up and you give it to them. And when they open up the box, inside they see the leaf and you'll say, 'We're going to go collect leaves together.'" And I said, "Oh, no, no, that's not a gift." And he says, "That's the best gift you could give them, is to spend time with them." So between the gold-plated rose story and between my buying theater tickets so that the whole family could go to the theater together and have something, a special moment, and between my brother telling me that I should put a leaf in a box and say that leaf represents time that we're going to spend together with my nieces and my nephews, all those collected came to the thought that come every holiday, as much as we can, we will create moments in that moment and for the future together. So I think especially I want to honor my friend who said that to me, yes, last night, saying that he thanked me for sharing that story. I now share with you all, and I hope that we all honor each other by experiencing those moments. So when the sirens do come for some of us loved ones down the street, and when they do go, that they go with moments of love, moments of joy, moments of pleasure together, instead of just gold-plated roses on their shelf. So, with that, we break to a commercial and we'll come back with my friend, Shepherd Chidumba.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular structure and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can know one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
You know, it's interesting. For years, Chef Richard Lombardi produced Bristol 300, which was a line of low-calorie products for Bristol Farms. Eventually, he started making entrees for them and shipping them throughout all of their stores. And he also produced for Trader Joe's the Italian cuisine line and the Italian entrees and started shipping those to all the Trader Joe's throughout America. And during a stint, then after that, he had a stint with me as radio host of Filippo and the Chef. And I keep wanting to say Life Changes with Filippo. I'm so used to saying that now. Interestingly enough, at the beginning, I used to say Life Changes. I used to say Filippo and the Chef instead of saying Life Changes with Filippo. But anyway, during a stint as radio host, Richard found out that he had cancer. And he took time away to fight off his cancer. And after 2 years of treatment, thank God, thank Richard, he is now cancer-free. Free. While fighting the fight, he decided to use his skills and became the cancer-fighting chef. This is brilliant. He currently operates a website, thecancerfightingchef.com, and is the founder of the organization, The Cancer Fighting Chef. Chef Richard is dedicated to help anyone who wants to fight cancer with good nutrition. He again performs, demonstrating and showcasing nutrition and cancer-fighting recipes. Welcome to the show, Chef Richard Lombardi.
Well, thank you, Filippo. It's so nice to be here. And before I go anywhere else, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me. What a pleasure to be here with you. By the way, the only thing we could have done differently is we could have had the show in the firehouse where there is no noise.
That's right, because they're all here. Well, actually, thank you. You live in this beautiful town, actually, so I'm glad we're doing it here near you, and thank you for picking this spot. It is kind of appropriate. We're almost in a kitchen like we used to be.
Right. It is appropriate. If you remember back, there was a station manager who listened to our shows before he put them on the air on his station, the Filippo and the Chef shows.
Right.
And what he liked about it was the cooking noises.
Right.
Remember banging the pots,
right.
Chopping.
Right.
Pounding,
that's
remember?
Right. And he wanted more noises.
He wanted more noises.
Well, this is a good omen.
So here we are.
And it's New York noises.
And
for
it's
that
New
matter.
York noises.
So you, of course, are from New York, but that has nothing to do with anything except you exude New York. Every conversation I remember we having, somehow New York came into it. And here it did again.
That's right.
You just can't help yourself. Well, you know, at the beginning, I was talking about moments, and we shared a lot of moments during Filippo and the Chef, and the audience shared a lot of moments with us as well. We'd get emails from people and letters from people saying how they, since we were telling Italian American stories, how they remembered their grandmother saying this or their mother saying that. Remember
right.
all of that?
Right, right. Even at some of our live shows around the country, people would come up and, you know, say different things.
Well, for that matter, our guests, like Penny Marshall, started sharing stories about
her family, how her family came from Italy, and how she found out that she was Italian.
And I thought she was Jewish.
She never knew. She thought she was Jewish.
Oh, she thought she was Jewish.
She never knew. Well, if you remember the story, her father had gone to NYU and was trying to get a job, and nobody would give him a job, so he changed his name from Marchali to Marshall.
Oh, I forgot.
And then he got a job.
I thought Gary told us that story, Marshall.
No, that was Penny.
Penny told us.
Yeah,
okay.
Penny told us that story.
All right, well, that's a good story, actually. And we're full of good stories, and that's one thing that we kept doing on the show, is sharing good stories. And And now we have a great story, actually, to tell because, you know, when you found out that you had cancer, and I'm happy to say had, it was a very hard time for you and your family, of course. It was a very hard time for me. We had shared a lot of good times, and I wanted to make sure that there were good times ahead. And as a matter of fact, you know, that's one of the things I could have mentioned. Talk about sharing moments. Was you and I did a show in Washington, D.C., the last show we did together.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
And
with the Speaker of the House.
With the Speaker. That's right. The former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. That's right. She was on stage with us. And then you and I, we had like an unfortunate thing happen where our flight couldn't get out or something. So we had to spend an extra night in the hotel.
Right.
And you and I used that time to spend the day together going to the White House.
We toured Washington, D.C.
Right.
But if you remember, that must have been a moment that was actually predestined.
Absolutely.
Because that happened to be the only day that there was a garden tour.
At the White House.
At the White House.
Right. It's like once a year for one day kind of thing, and that was it.
And that happened to be it.
Absolutely. And what happened I was close to you already. I felt close to you. I mean, you were always like a great, great, great grandfather to me, and like an uncle to me.
He's picking on me.
I'm doing it again. You were always like an uncle to me, very familiar. You know, from the moment we met each other. Your wife's laughing, and that's a good thing. Unless she's gonna hit me after she says I'm not your great, great grandmother. But after that day, I just felt so much closer to you because we had never done that, spending that kind of time outside of work or whatever we were doing. And, I mean, that's not true. We had dinners together and all, but we always talked about work. But that day, it was almost like, you know, I don't know, we
just walked around. I mean, we did a lot of walking. We walked through the White House gardens.
Went to the memorials.
We walked over to the memorial. We went to the Vietnam Memorial.
And you were telling me about when you were in the service and when you did this and your friends and all that. And I felt like we were family, and I felt like we were having a moment. And I'll never forget what you told me as we were going back to the hotel. You said, "You know, I haven't done this with my son in years." And I said to you, make a point of doing that as soon as you get home. And it's interesting because soon after you found out about the cancer, and all I kept thinking of is, no matter what happens, Richard has to spend that time with his son and your daughter. And I hope you have.
We wound up spending a lot of time with our grandchildren. we've spent a lot of good time. We've spent a lot of good time. But, you know, fortunately, because of the therapy and the cancer going away, hopefully we'll be spending a lot more good times.
Good, you know? Good. I hope this is a reminder for that. Well, so you got this news, and what happened to you? Where did your head go about the cancer?
Well, on my website, thecancerfightingchef.com, I wrote a blog about it. And the blog is called Holy Crap, Cancer. and it sort of tells the story about what happened to me. And interestingly enough, the day that I was given the news by the doctor on the telephone, by the way, not in person, because the doctor was a very close friend of ours for many, many years, and he felt comfortable enough to tell me on the phone.
I'm surprised he didn't text you.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the same day that Captain Sully was landing the plane on the Hudson, saving 155 people or whatever.
Right.
It was January 15th, 2 years ago, this past January 15th. So that was just kind of an interesting day, okay? I think what happens is to people is they don't really know what it is. They don't know what to expect. They hear the word. A lot of people are frightened of the word. But generally, you just say, well, what are we going to do next? You know, you don't get to thinking about it that much. And I think the problem is that a lot of people don't really know what cancer is. don't know what the treatments are, or don't know specifically. They've heard the words, but don't know specifically what they are. In fact, to give you an example, growing up in New York and playing basketball.
There it is, New York.
Playing basketball at Powell Memorial Academy.
Are you going to drop names?
With the famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
Kareem happened to have...
he really knows him. He's not dropping names.
Kareem happened to have leukemia.
Okay? I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
He has leukemia, a very mild form of a rare kind of leukemia. And I was talking to him during my treatment. And I said to him, Kareem, I said, have you gone through any radiation or chemotherapy? And he said, no, I don't go, no chemotherapy. I just take some pills.
Right.
And I said, uh-oh.
Right.
That's chemotherapy, okay?
Right.
Those pills, those poisonous drugs are chemotherapy.
And I didn't know that myself. I thought chemo was some kind of chemical that somehow went through your
system. A lot of people think maybe chemo has something to do with radiation, because chemo is kind of a word that kind of means something like radiation. And a lot of people don't know, you know, what it is. And a lot of people don't really know what cancer is, okay? And the definition of cancer is that it's a mutation of a cell, okay, that mutates and grows very rapidly and destroys other cells and forms a tumor. There are cancers that don't form tumors, by the way, most do. By the way, there's 100 different cancers.
Well, you learned a lot in a short period of time. You've been doing a lot of research.
There's 100 different cancers, and basically, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, simple things like people say, oh, they lose their hair with chemotherapy. The reason a person loses their hair when they're on chemotherapy is because the chemotherapy drugs seek out in the body fast-growing cells, and it kills them. Well, cancer cells are fast-growing cells, so it seeks those cells and kills them. But your hair cells are also fast-growing cells, so it seeks those cells and kills those too. So what will happen is those drugs are seeking out any fast-growing cells, and they will kill those cells, and that's why a person loses their hair, because the chemotherapy
drugs. I didn't
know
that either.
Okay, so there, you know, there's a method to all the madness, you know, and that's the kind of thing. And people need to learn those kinds of things. People need to understand what it's all about.
But I bet you were like people. You didn't want to have to learn those things and understand what it was all about, right?
But I got to say one thing. If you take a bad disease like cancer and you say, well, you have that, and the person says, well, I don't care, I'm not going to do anything about it, I don't want to go through all of that horrible treatment. So the first level of people who get cancer and get very sick and possibly die from it are the group that doesn't do anything about it. Okay? And then, you know, there's other levels. There's people that go through some chemotherapy and say, oh, I don't want to do that again. I don't care, and it'll come back, and they'll go. By the way, there's 1.5 million cases of cancer every year, and approximately a third of them, 500,000 deaths from cancer every year.
Wow.
So a third of them die.
Is that going down?
It is going down, yes. And in some areas, it's going down quickly, you know, and in other areas not. For instance, the cancer I had, the Hodgkin's lymphoma, there's only about 1,500 cases. It's a very rare cancer, only about 1,500 cases a year.
What, it's so rare, only the special people get it? What is
it? Yeah, only us special people get it. But I mean, you know, as opposed to a breast cancer that gets 250,000 people a year, you know. So it's very rare. It's a very rare cancer. But and it's very treatable. So, you know, so you can be treated, and you can actually, instead of being in remission, you can be cured.
Which you are.
Which I am, okay?
All right.
So that's well, you know, that's
good.
The thing. There's a lot of information about cancer. By the way, on, again, the cancerfightingchef.com, the website, I try to put there as much information as I can and as many links to information that are available on the web to, you know, there. For instance, if you go to my website and you click on What is Cancer, mm-hmm. it actually takes you to the National Cancer Institute website where it tells you and explains exactly with pictures what cancer is.
Okay.
So, you know, that's one thing. And then there's web links that take you other places. And then there's stories, articles, blogs, all kinds of information, recipes that I make up and recipes that other people have made up that I make available. Again, I'm not in the business of holding any information back. I want people to know everything that they can, okay? So I share my information with everyone, and I let everybody do anything they want as far as looking at the website and copying it and saving it and so on and so forth.
Ah, that's excellent. That's excellent. And the information that you're getting is from the research that you're doing and the people that
right.
have survived that you have talked to.
Right.
And
right. Well, I get also I get the questions on the website. You know, if you go to the website, you can register. You can ask a question, you know. So I get questions from people about, you know, what kind of food should I eat now that I'm cancer free or something. You know, does it make a difference and so on and so forth.
Right. We're going to talk about foods when we come back, actually. But so all the information that's there, people could use, and that you've gathered it from other sources,
right.
and you're still gathering, and you're welcoming any information that,
right.
that you can.
Right. And we're putting on any new information we can.
Okay.
So constantly looking.
Constantly looking. Okay. Well, and constantly improving and growing. Well, with that, when we come back, I'm going to tell a little bit on myself on how I might have been a pain in the ass to you a couple times, but I'd like to think that... that I might have helped in some way in this process for you. And I'd like to know more of the process for you, how you came to actually looking to actually look at the food as something that can help and how it can. As when we come back after a word from Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Okay, so we're back. And I'm thinking, you and I had many great times together, but there were some times where I could tell I was being a thorn in your side. A stone in your shoe. because, you know, I was for 18, 20 years at that point eating like a vegan. And so I was very conscious of the food that was going into my body and the kind of...
By the way, if you were eating like a vegan, you should have become a vegan because it wouldn't have been any different.
Well, no, actually it is. Because there are a lot of vegans that are militant about... that people shouldn't be eating animals and right or wrong, they go around and imposing that on other people. And they also are saying that people shouldn't be wearing leather and right or wrong. You know, I still wore leather and so I never called myself a vegan. I also don't care for too many labels. But so I said I ate like a vegan. That's why I said that. So in a sense, I should probably say I acted like an Italian-American, even though technically I was born from Italian parents in America.
Should we give away the secret of the Filippo and the Chef show?
What was the secret?
I cooked and you never tasted any of the food.
I couldn't. That's exactly right. We never really wanted to talk about that because we thought people would say, oh, you know. But I never did say... Well, you know, one of the reasons why, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the reasons why we didn't, even the food that I could eat, because you did food, you make food that I could eat, a lot of food that I could eat, that we usually ate after the show. But one of the main things is because it was one of my pet peeves to watch people on television after somebody cooks something, put something in their mouth and go, mmm, delicious. What are they going to say? I mean, I never saw anybody say, you know, I don't like that. So it's a given that someone's going to say, mmm, it's good. So I thought it was just like, you know, gratuitous, you know, blah, 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 for me to taste everything you did and say, mmm, it's good. I thought it'd be boring too. But yes, because I was eating like a vegan, I didn't have any of the food that had meats or dairy or fish or anything like that in it. But even when you would cook the meats, I would say there's got to be a healthier way of making that. And sometimes you would ignore me completely, or sometimes you would mumble something under your breath. Now, I was talking to your wife earlier, months ago, and she was saying, oh, we don't even make... She's from New York, too. And she's got the heavy accent. We don't even make sausage anymore.
not pork sausage.
Not pork sausage, right. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, that was one of the things that I would say, look at all that fat. I mean, should we really be having all that fat? And then, so tell me, how much of a pain in the ass was I during those times? Never mind.
No, maybe I better not. Every time I hear that expression, though, I think of a joke somebody told me.
I don't think I want to hear it. I just know it. I know your humor, and if it has anything to do with pain in the ass.
Yeah, it does.
That's all right. Kind
of, that's the whole joke.
Okay.
You want me to tell?
No, I really don't. We had to edit so many shows, so many jokes on Filippo and the Chef that I just don't feel like we need to do that here. But thank you for that.
Okay. Well, we need to talk about change, though.
But tell me. So you don't have to, you know. So tell me, what was that like when I would say that?
I respected what you felt you wanted to do. I didn't understand why you want to miss all that good food, but, you know, hey, listen, that's okay. And my wife is a believer in moderation. You know, you can have anything as long as it's in moderation, you know. So that's a good theory also. I mean, that works, and that works well for a lot of people. But now, of course, now that I know that the vegetables and the... other ingredients, the other things that someone should cook contain these antioxidants, you know, and the antioxidants actually help cells not to be broken down by the cancer. I came to realize that that really we should be eating things that are better for us and can fight the cancer and can fight any other diseases, that are in the body. Maybe if we should revisit, you know, that situation, we could come to a little better agreement. You know, I mean, we eat chicken, but we try to keep the quantity down. You know, try to stay away from red meat because the animal fat is a problem.
Okay.
As far as that's concerned. So, you know.
Well, it's interesting. You talked about change, and of course, we are Life Changes with Filippo here on the show. Here was somebody who worked with you and loved you, me, saying, you know, Richard, I don't know that you should be cooking like this or eating like this. And here you had your wife, and for that matter, even your children, saying, you know, Dad, you shouldn't be eating so much of this or shouldn't be eating that. And you didn't, I mean, you might have listened to it and you might have changed a little bit because of it. But for the most part, you were like, you know, I'm okay.
I think that's probably true. You know, I mean, like everyone else, you always want to keep your weight down and look good and stuff like that. But you wanted to eat
what you wanted to eat and do what you wanted to do.
You know, it was good food. I mean,
But the point that I'm getting at is that then cancer came along and then truly everything changed. I mean, then it got your attention.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how sometimes it takes something like that to be a change agent in our lives.
Right, right.
Because another one of me or another wife, like your wife keeps threatening, because she'd say, you're going to be the death of me, you know, if you don't change. And you know, no matter who it was, that wouldn't change you. But the cancer did. Why did that change things?
Well, first of all, you know, we were talking about jokes, but what?
Oh, here we go. You can't resist.
A guy from New York, George Carlin. You remember George Carlin?
New York.
George Carlin had a joke where he said, "I put $5 in a change machine and nothing changed." Okay. You have to do something to make things change. You can't just put $5 in a change.
Yeah, either that or it costs more than $5 to change.
Whatever. Okay. So yes, that did change. By the way, speaking about change, I know you have heard the term sea change.
Seek change?
Sea change.
Sea change.
Sea change.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. Okay, well, there's...
As in the letter C?
No, no.
Oh.
Actually, as in the word S-E-A.
Oh, of course. No, then no.
Okay. Sea change is the business term that they use for when something changes.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, seriously changes.
S-E-A?
S-E-A.
As in the ocean?
As in the ocean.
Okay.
Okay? And the term comes from... By the way, it's S-E-A space change.
Okay.
Or it's S-E-A change, you know,
all one word.
Okay. Or in the original version, it's S-E-A hyphen change.
Okay.
And the original version, the word is taken from Shakespeare, okay, in the play The Tempest.
Okay.
Okay, and it's about...
Which is about a ship in the ocean.
Right, which is about a ship in the ocean.
Right.
And he talks about the person... dying and changing.
Okay.
And calls it a sea change. Okay, and that's where the term comes from, for people to change. But today, you know, today that talks about a complete turnaround.
Right.
You know, it wasn't originally meant as a complete turnaround, but that's the way they talk about it. You know, like somebody has an epiphany.
Right.
And they make a change.
Right, right.
Okay. I don't think that a lot of people make that kind of change because change is really hard to do. Mm. Everybody loves the familiar. Nobody wants to change, okay, too much. So everybody loves the familiar. So anyway, but it comes to the point where you have to make some changes if you want to live longer.
And so okay? living the key factor.
Right. Living is the thing that says, wow. If I want to live, I better change. If I want to see my grandkids grow up, I better change.
And if you want to be heard, you better change and talk louder because the blender's going.
The blender's going. That's the problems of being in a coffee shop. But anyway,
I'll have one of those, blended coffee.
Yeah, probably pretty good. My wife said the coffee's real good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But anyway, there is something that makes you change. And cancer... It's something that I come to find out that even though it goes away and you may be better, you still have the effects of it.
Mm.
There's one of the latest articles that I posted on my website is about symptoms even after you get rid of the cancer, that you always have these symptoms of being tired and different things, okay?
Okay.
That they never go away. And people need to recognize that. They recognize you're never going to feel the way you felt before. Okay?
So let's talk about cancer-fighting foods. Like, what's up there on the top of the list?
Well, vegetables, of course, you know, the top of the list.
Because of the antioxidants.
Because of the antioxidants. Any brightly colored vegetables.
It's funny that you're telling me this, or I'm having you share this with our audience.
That's right.
Because this is not where you were a few years ago.
But how about brightly colored vegetables?
What a difference a few years makes. What a different cancer makes.
Yeah.
Sea change. SKA change.
Right.
Okay, brightly. What is so funny about brightly colored? You're not talking about fluorescent. So
no,
what,
but that's the way they describe
okay,
it.
Okay,
you know, brightly
sure.
colored
yeah,
vegetables.
Yeah, like a bright red...
Yam.
Yam?
Well...
Bell pepper.
Bell pepper.
Okay.
Any bright... Brightly
okay.
colored vegetables.
Tomatoes. Okay.
You know, brightly colored vegetables.
Okay. I feel like we're on Romper Room.
Yeah.
Brightly colored vegetables. Can we all say that? What's a brightly colored vegetable?
Say it 10 times fast.
Carrots. All right.
Carrots. Yeah. All of that. That's, you know, that's an area where there are that are heavy in antioxidants.
Okay.
Okay. And again, going down the line with the beans and the legumes and the seeds and the, you know, all of
all
those
the things.
Things
that nobody wanted to eat when they were kids.
Still,
and some of us haven't learned.
Still
it.
Nobody wants.
But then, well, I love them. But again, I've been eating like a vegan for 20
yeah,
years. So,
yeah. Well, you know, but even more than just.
I just have to tell you another secret. I eat sausage now.
Sausage?
No, I'm just kidding. You stopped eating it, and now I'm eating it. No.
Well, sausage has to go somewhere. In eating those kinds of things, you also eat them in moderation. You know, you don't fill up the way you used to. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people learn is they don't get stuffed. Like they used to, you know, and the bad feeling that comes from getting stuffed, you know,
that's not okay anymore, right?
No, it's not okay anymore. And I mean, the chemotherapy I had, the first rounds of chemotherapy I had in the first, and I don't know if they do this for everybody, but for me, they did it in four drugs.
Okay.
Okay. The first round was four different drugs. And you sit in a room, and they put an IV in, and they drip. The first thing they do is they take a drug that a lot of people are very allergic to, and they inject just a little bit, wait 5 minutes to see if you're allergic to it, and if you're not, they start the drip.
Okay.
But they dilute it with a saline solution.
And if you're allergic to it 10 minutes later, you're out of luck.
No, if you're going to be allergic to something, that's another thing. If you're going to be allergic to something, you're going to be allergic to it right away.
Okay. See, I didn't know that either.
There's no waiting around. But you have the drip. And then when that drug finishes, there's another drug that they drip in. But two of the drugs they pushed, which means they zzz right out of the, you know.
Syringe.
Right out of the syringe. Just
okay.
injected it right in. So two drugs they push and two drugs they dripped.
Okay.
And one was really diluted. And that was kind of go in every 2 weeks and sit there and get the four drugs.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to hear any more of that. Where are you going with that?
Well, there's a lot of other bad stuff that happens.
Are you saying we should be doing that with the juice from vegetables?
There's a lot of other bad stuff that happens. Those are the drugs that make people nauseous and make you sick and do this.
Right.
I never got nauseous from the drugs.
Okay.
Okay, so I didn't take the other drugs to keep you from being nauseous.
Okay.
Okay, but those drugs also kill all your white blood cells. So now you have to take some other injections in your stomach or your arm or someplace to cause you to build up white blood cells quickly.
Can we do that with food?
Yeah, I wish, huh?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but... Unfortunately, that first set of chemo drugs damaged my heart and my lungs. So they had to take me off those and try four different drugs, okay? And it's a long story, but I want to get to the end of it, and here's the end of it. The worst thing is a bone marrow biopsy, okay? It is the most painful, horrible thing that anybody wants.
And I remember hearing this story, and I don't know that we want to share it with the audience, but... I want to get back to how this relates to the food, because you're now the cancer-fighting chef. Right. And so we have 5 more minutes after we come back from this break, and we'll talk about a quick recipe you could give us over the air.
Great.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes, life coaching, and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, and or if you would like to appear on our radio show or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on a representation page. You're listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio.
We're back with Chef Richard Lombardi here on Life Changes with Filippo, and let's see. We only have a few more minutes, but I want to make sure, what was it you were trying to get at with telling us all those grueling details? Talk about changes. That's one of the things, is that you have this story that needs to come out, because I've heard it before and I know you've shared it with others. You're not the only one. Everybody that I've talked to that has had cancer has this reason for telling the experiences that they have had. And one of the things that I hope that people get out of this is that we could be sharing experiences and stories before this kind of thing has to happen to all of us,
well,
right?
Obviously, telling the story to another cancer patient is, you know, preaching to the choir, as
right.
they say.
Right.
But the idea is that so many people don't know the story, don't know what happens, don't know what to expect. I didn't.
But prevention is the best.
Prevention is the best, to never have to go through it. It's certainly the best.
So as the cancer-fighting chef, then, you're not talking about how to make it through while you have cancer. You're also talking about after you have cancer, right. what you could or should eat. Right. But also, are you not talking about what to eat before so that you don't get cancer?
What to eat when you don't even think about cancer.
And hopefully never have to.
And hopefully you never have to.
Okay.
In other words, eat these things and maybe you'll never get it.
Okay, so there are some foods that you gave as an example that we are already eating, and we don't think of them as foods that are actually good for cancer fighting. And the interesting thing is there are foods that we like. So you're not saying get rid of all the flavor and let's not eat happily.
Not at all.
Deliciously.
In fact, you know, prior to my getting cancer, I wrote my first cookbook, which was the Mama Rose cookbook, where I had all the recipes from Mama Rose restaurant,
right.
which was the restaurant I had for 10 years. With my wife.
Well, now you're writing a new book, so do some of the recipes translate?
Well, some of them will translate with minor adjustments, okay? And to give you a specific example, something like the bruschetta. In Mama Rose's restaurant, bruschetta was one of the things that people loved to have. They commented on it. They thought ours was very good. It was almost like a marinade as opposed to just being something chopped and thrown on a slice of bread,
mm-hmm.
okay? But the ingredients, the red onion,
right.
The tomato,
right.
okay, the garlic,
right.
Olive oil. Did I mention olive oil?
No.
Nope.
And
okay, the olive oil.
Did you have like basil or parsley or something in there?
Well, we used parsley. Okay, we didn't use basil in that
on
particular
that. Okay.
thing. Okay, parsley. But we also put cheese on the top, but
right.
very little bit of cheese because. Again, you know, the old cook's trick of use something that has a very, very heavy flavor. That way you only have to use a little bit of it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So we used some cheese, but very little because it was a very strong flavored cheese.
And then you put all that on a
piece of bread. Okay.
Now,
thin slice of bread.
Right.
Now, in the restaurant, of course, we put a little butter on that bread and toasted it, okay,
mm-hmm.
to give it a brown. But when we transfer this recipe over to the cancer-fighting chef Cooks Italian,
mm-hmm.
Then we'll...
I hope that's your new book title.
Yes, that is the new book
okay.
title.
Okay, no, it's a clever title.
That is the new book title.
Okay.
And we're not just going to cook Italian. We're going to we're going to go, and we're going to do Chinese and Mexican and whatever else we can do.
We could actually enjoy food and know at the same time that we're actually fighting against cancer.
Right.
Richard, I'm so happy we're having this conversation and that we're able to. Thank you for being alive and well. And thank you for being my friend, and thank you for being on our show tonight.
And thank you very much for having me, and the best to you, and all success, because you're performing a needed job here. You're going to help a lot of people.
As are you. Thank you, sir. Please stick around, and we'll have hugs and moments afterwards. Chef Richard Lombardi. Well, you know, Mark, I am so proud of Richard. I know I was a thorn in his side for years, saying, you know, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be eating this, or are you? And he has made such a change to be able to come to this place where he's not only embraced the change, but he's actually helping other people embrace the change before they experience something like this, or during or after.
Being the example. Yeah, I think that's the people get so used to cooking a certain way or eating a certain way. And you know, that's the one thing you hear about so much is that there's so many ways of overcoming these sicknesses, and it all comes down to eating right. And then you have to relearn how to cook or learn new ways, and to be able to get the kind of food that he cooks, and to be able to learn those types of recipes and have it be good for you, and you know, fighting that is great.
Well, you know, the funny thing is him in particular, he used to cook for Bristol 300, I think they called it, which was, what, I don't know, 300 calories or something like that per serving or something, for Bristol Farms, which is a big chain. And so that was always food for them. Mm. You know, it wasn't for him or for anybody that he cared for. Right. It's for those people that eat that way. And all of a sudden he's saying, we should eat that way.
Well, that's why, you know, the example that he's setting is life changes. Exactly.
That was all you were saying. Sorry.
There you go.
Didn't mean to steal your thunder. Absolutely. And here he is. It's kind of interesting to you know, I don't want to use this example, but the analogy works about you can't teach an old dog a new trick. And I'm not going to refer to him as an old dog, but he's certainly older than I am. And I know how hard it is for me sometimes to make a change in certain habits that I've had. So for him to come around and make a sea change that I learned today.
SEA.
You know, SEA, absolutely. Like a complete turnabout. It's like there's hope for all of us as we change. We can change all the time.
Yeah, change is in real time. It's one thing that... I think that the change that you really need to make is being willing to change. And then you can kind of, you know, if you can stay in that place of being willing to change, then it's easy to adapt and learn new things and learn how to cook, but most importantly, enjoy it while you're doing it. Right?
You know, I think the trick is, I want to make sure that if somebody in my life is telling me something as strong and as blatant as I was telling him, or his wife was telling him, you need to change, you need to look at this, you need to do something different, and he wasn't listening until something like cancer came around. Well, we all are like that on some level, in some aspect of our lives. And somebody or some group of somebodies are out there telling us, you need to change, you need to look at this, you need to do this differently. And I know myself as well. For him it was that. For me it's something else. Maybe the way I think. Maybe the way I do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the trick is to look at it then and not when some disastrous thing happens.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. I mean, we even talked about this when we were talking about the name of the radio show, right? The word change. It comes with its own energy. You know, some people are resistant to change, or they think a change is work, and or things like that. But when you really realize that it's part of life, and it is the constant, we like to say, right? And therefore, making it or accepting it as a part of life, and accepting it as exciting, changes the perspective and allows you to embrace it and make it more enjoyable, rather than having to go through a moment and change because you're uncomfortable, or change because of a discovery of a health change or whatnot.
Yeah, you know what comes to mind is that it's a sign of the times, actually. change has always happened through all civilizations, of course, but we can argue that our culture has experienced more change in a shorter period of time than the civilization since it started. I mean, our particular generation or what have you. And so where our parents or our grandparents might have felt like they get into a job and they stay there for 40 years until they get their gold watch, or even if they got that at the end of their life, whatever, they're into their work career and then they retire. That's what I am. I'm a builder, or I'm a, you know, metal worker, and that's what I am. It seems like there's no more "that's what I am, that's what it is," because people are changing jobs, changing houses, changing, you know, relationships, changing. Everything is changing. Mm. And there's no more "this is what I am," or "this is what I eat," or "this is what I where I live." It's just, this is what it is right now.
Yeah, we almost don't have the amount of time that we used to have to enjoy our habits. And because communication has increased so rapidly. I think it was somebody today talking about this unfortunate incident in Moscow. And I learned of it in moments from when it happened through the internet instant distribution. Whereas after, I can't remember exactly what break it was in World War I, it was just 17 days before the information was translated. So you start to look at that and you realize that information, which is learning, which is empowerment, which causes change, happens so rapidly that we almost don't even have time to enjoy our habits now.
You know, it's interesting. And speaking of that, it seems that we just took our Christmas decorations down, and before long will we have to put them back in. And I'm noticing people are putting less up, or they put this year this up, and next year they'll put something else up. It's not like, this is what I always do. It almost doesn't exist anymore. This is what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's changing.
Traditions
change. That would be an interesting show, or at least a blog post. Well, this to me was a very interesting show. I'm very proud of my friend, and I wish him the best success. And I'm hoping that we can help him as well. Well, actually, we are, by having him on the show. And he's also on our Life Changes Network that will be introduced to the world very soon, so people can find him there as well. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been a pleasure hosting Life Changes with Filippo tonight. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue, Mark M. Lejeune, Mark McGregor, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ion Ways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.
Now's the time.